As routines just are a lifesaver, I feel like. I mean, they can definitely keep us sane because we have so much that we have to remember as moms. And there are so many things that fall through the cracks if we're not doing them in a habitual way.
Welcome to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology, a series of interviews with real-life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators on all sorts of topics that affect our lives as homeschool parents. I'm Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschool mom of five, and I am so delighted that you are here. Here on Homeschool Conversations, we'll discuss educational philosophy, family life, and more. Come chat with us. My good friend, previous podcast guest, and podcast sponsor Adrian Fries has some really exciting resources for you. Adrian brings decades of expertise to the Charlotte Mason classical education world, and her message is growing through her beautiful teaching team. Beautiful Teaching is a classical education team of master teachers and field experts specializing in professional development, customized consulting, online immersion courses, seminar-led book studies, and comprehensive support for both homeschool and classroom teachers. Experiencing the labor of thinking, speaking, and asking questions is non-negotiable for a real classical experience. Beautiful Teaching's online webinars, book seminars, and courses are live and participatory because participation is paramount to a true classical education. Beautiful Teaching will help you grow in your craft of teaching and build your confidence as a home educator. Their workshops and book studies are taught by Adrian, other experts, and former homeschooled graduates who are now master teachers and experts in the Charlotte Mason approach to a liberal education. Read their bios and check out their courses at beautifulteaching.com. They have some amazing courses coming this fall, including a course taught by Karen Glass. Visit the website at beautifulteaching.com. Hello, friends. Today I am joined by Brandy Coffin. Brandy is a wife, follower of Jesus, homeschool mom, and time management coach. She is the host of the Nourished Mom podcast, where she talks about homeschool mom life and balancing all the things. Brandy is passionate about helping other homeschool moms create a balanced, peaceful, and efficient homeschool through personalized time management systems, biblical priorities, and routine strategies. She enjoys hiking, reading, playing with her kids, board games with her family, and a warm cup of tea. Brandy, I am so excited to get to chat with you today after having the opportunity to be on your podcast as a guest, which is really fun. So yes. Other than the official bio there, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and how you guys got started homeschooling.
All right. So I live in Massachusetts with my husband and two boys. And we are just, you know, a typical homeschool Christian family. And we just got back from a hike. So the hiking, we enjoy hiking. Yes. Found a tick. Oh, it's tick season. Do you guys have a lot of ticks where you are?
We do, especially when we go up to Virginia to visit family there. They have a lot of grass and woods. And it seems like we're always getting rid of ticks while we're visiting the grandparents.
Yep. So I just had one right before now. I'm like, ooh, I feel something. But yes, we love being out in nature. And how did I get to homeschooling? So that was a real great journey. And, you know, we're still on the journey of how it all evolves. But really, I had started a nutritional therapy business, coaching women in nutrition. And the Lord, it was so funny. Like, I was wanting to be out of my day job. And I was working this business on the side. And I was talking to my husband. I'm like, I just feel like I'm going to be done working, or maybe I'll cut back my hours, or I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm like, in June. And it's just like an arbitrary month, right? I'm like, I don't know why. I just feel like it's going to happen in June. And my boss had then told me, oh, one of the other employees, she needs to cut back her hours in June. So I need to know if you are, I think she was leaving altogether, if you are wanting to, like, what you want your role to be. Cause she's like, I'm going to have to hire someone else. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect time. I'm like, I think that you should hire the new person to cover, because we were both like part-time, Ashley's role and part of mine. So I gave away like half of my job and was able to like start working more at home. But then the same thing happened again. I'm like, I feel like we're gonna be done. Like I'm gonna be gone in whatever time. The Lord took me home from work, had me home. I was working in my business. And this is a year before 2020. So I had a first grader and a preschooler. And I'm working my business. And then all of a sudden in January, I just like had it in my heart, homeschooling. And I'm like, that's so ridiculous. Like, I don't know anyone who homeschools. And I actually did. I just didn't realize it. We didn't talk about it, you know? And there's no way my husband would go for that. But I remember writing it in my journal and with a question mark, like homeschooling. And then it was COVID. And it was like the perfect door was opened, I think, for so many people to realize, like, okay, I don't actually, the Lord had already put it on my heart. I just thought it was impossible. But now seeing how it's going and knowing what the teacher does, and I'm like, I think that we could do this. So me and my husband decided to take the kids home. And here we are a few years later.
I have actually talked to several women in the past few months who had sort of like either had this thought in the back of their head, like, man, I'm interested in homeschooling, but I could never do that. Or had thought, well, there's something that's not quite right at school, but, I don't want to rock the boat. And then the Lord really used 2020 to kind of shake things up and provide that needed excuse or that little like prod from behind, like, okay, you can do this, jump on in. And now they're
Yes.
like, oh my goodness, I wouldn't have it any other way.
I know. I think it's amazing how the Lord really used that in so many different aspects of life, but especially in the homeschool community, to really introduce moms to another way, like a way that seems more aligned with, it just gives us more time to focus on the Lord. And it's good. I love it.
Well, in those years since you started homeschooling, how have your thoughts about home education or sort of schooling in general, how have they grown or changed since you first jumped in?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a journey. And I would say in the beginning, I kind of thought, that classical, like, oh, replicating school at home, that type of thing. I'm like, oh, I made our homeschool room like perfect and put up all the posters and laminated all of the things. And we were going to have circle time, which is great. But like, just it was very organized in my mind and it was going to go a certain way. And then that wasn't really working. I'm like, it's just not feeling right. And when it didn't go the way I wanted to, I was getting like angry and trying to control. And it was like just not a great experience with that. So then I'm like, why don't we try unschooling? So we went like the whole other way. And I was on these Facebook pages with unschoolers who were really all about like your kids don't need a routine. Like they're gonna put themselves to bed when they're tired. Let them do as much screen time as they want because they're gonna learn how to regulate it. And I tried that because that sounded great. Like, oh, my kids could learn how to put themselves to bed on time and not go overboard with screens. So we tried that for a little bit. I would not even very long. On those like certain things. And I realized like, wow, this does not work. And it could work for some people, but like not for my kids. And then I was really brought into like what the Bible says, like train up your children and what the Bible says about like discipline. And I'm like, I'm not training them in this method. I'm not giving them the tools that they need to grow and succeed if I'm not like giving them that example. Like saying these are the boundaries and giving them those boundaries to work within. So then now we've come to a place where we kind of balance those different things because the Lord has really grown my relationship with Him through this all, like learning what it really means to be patient, what it really means to trust in Him when I'm trying to control like all of the things. So it's really been a spiritual journey. As well as like the basic homeschooling thing. But we've ended in a place right now where it's a balance, like the eclectic way of homeschooling, I think would be the word that fits us best right now. And we kind of just pick and choose what works, and we balance that child-led learning and some of the principles from like an unschooling way with that, like, okay, well, we want to train you to do certain things and focus on certain things like cooking. One of my sons, my seven-year-old, loves cooking. So we're training him on like how to get good with that, how to be comfortable with that. Communication, things that we find important, that we know are important, communication, relationships, house management, time management, but letting them lead in the things that they're interested in as well.
That's great. I have a friend, Pam Barnhill, and she talks about this sort of idea of us schooling. When I interviewed her, you may have heard her from Your Morning Basket, but I thought that was such a great idea because so often we try to, like, especially new homeschoolers, we want to like fit into the group and find our groove and find our people. And so we're like, okay, which label are we going to use? And at the end of the day, sometimes it's just like, well, we're just us schooling, you know, what works best for our unique families.
Yes. Something that I was thinking about just like this morning, actually, that a similar thing, but a little bit different, was like that child-led learning. But I'm like, I feel like it's more like family-led learning, you know, because like, yes, I, you know, one son likes piano and we like pour into that. What, you know, and if one child wants to get into, you know, we're learning about swans this week, we go into that. But also it has to work for me and my husband too. You know, so I like the idea of like, I don't know if this is a thing, but family-led learning, you know?
I love that. Well, if it's not a thing, it should be. You heard it here first.
I made it.
Brandy, what have been some of your favorite parts of homeschooling?
I would definitely say, and you know, this is definitely the relationships, but I want to also say that it wasn't like all butterflies and rainbows. Like our relationships were challenged to the max when I came home from work, from the office. And I think a lot of it had to do with control. Thinking, you know, like I was able to control things the way I wanted them when, you know, we're all kind of in our separate places and we come together for a little while. But then when we're all home all the time together, I had to realize that sometimes the way that I wanted things to be, it wasn't important. Like me getting angry with the kids over something, it wasn't important in the long run. And I had to really realize that balance. Like sometimes it's important to do things a certain way. And sometimes it's not important to do things my way. Like sometimes I need to open up and look at like, actually their way can work too. And I should be open to that. So it's really grown our relationships like big time. I would say doing life with the Lord, like really being able to teach them and just have it be like the focus of our days and our life. I think, you know, also this journey has grown my relationship with the Lord. You know, we were Christians before we started, but we do life different now. And a lot of that has been what we learned on the homeschool journey and just being able to pour into that and teach them, and they have time to do their devotions and we have time to, you know, read the Bible at breakfast. Like those are things we didn't have time for when we were running all different directions.
Yeah. And I think nothing like homeschooling will show you your need for a savior, right? You definitely are brought to the end of yourself, which is a really good thing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I would say the other thing is like just learning together, being curious. So many things I get to learn again that I forgot about, you know, you forget to be curious. You forget to use your imagination and your creativity sometimes. And being able to explore those things together is really fun.
Definitely. Well, you mentioned the issue of control and having to kind of relinquish that idea. Have there been any other challenges that maybe you still face in your homeschool day-to-day life? And how do you seek to overcome those challenges?
I still deal with control. I mean, looking back to even when I was a child, that was an issue for me. Like I was the kid who was like, if we don't play my way, then I'm not playing with you. And I'm like, oh, so like cringe. But I'm like looking back, I'm like, ooh, I've had an issue with this for like a real long time. So it's something I still struggle with, but it's like, I'm growing with the Lord. It's like now I'm able to see, like he just is always correcting me with prayer through scripture, and guiding me in the right directions, but I still struggle with control. But I've come a long way. You know, I think, let's see, some of the other patience. Patience is definitely one. And I think that really is rooted in control too. Like I want things to be done at a certain time so we can move to the next thing, or feeling like you don't have time for this. And I think that it's really a lie that we believe that we don't have time to do the things that the Lord's calling us to. So like recently, the Lord really put it on my heart that we were learning a new morning routine. Like the kids had gotten to a certain developmental stage and me and my husband were like, all right, we need to like step it up a notch. They need more responsibility. We need to like change things around a little bit. And a lot of that is they're learning new chores. So recently, as we're learning the chores, the Lord had put it on my heart, like you are doing it together with them. Like meaning like you're not leaving the room and trying to feed the dog when they're doing this. You're not trying to do your grocery list when they're doing their bedroom. And that's really hard for me because I'm like, ooh, do I have to sit here and watch you clean your bedroom? And for whatever reason, I really felt called to, yes, I do. And I think a big part of it is the training, because otherwise if I'm trying to do something else while they are doing their thing and they're getting it wrong and they're calling me for help, I'm getting impatient. And I'm like, can't you do this? Like, why can't you do whatever you are? Like, you know how to do this. And I'm getting patient because I'm torn in two different directions. So it's that like the Lord is just like, no, just while they're like getting good at it, like you're just gonna stay there with them. And that is definitely growing my patience. So, and finding the balance really between all the things, right? So if I'm supposed to be in the room while they're cleaning and kind of pointing out what's next and teaching them, you know, how to stay focused and all of these things and do it efficiently, when am I going to do my chores? So, you know, that's always been something that I was really passionate about, like finding that balance, because I feel like when we're not balanced, we're stressed.
And sometimes it's so much easier to say, okay, let's find the balance, let's organize our time. And then we're like, yes, that's great. But then how do we actually do that? And I know you have a lot of really great ideas about managing our time as homeschooling moms. So I was wondering if you could share a few of your top strategies.
Yeah. So one thing that works really good for me is task partitioning. So it's when it's, you know, the idea that when we take a big task and we split it into smaller tasks. And I do this with most of my tasks, because I find that I don't have that 30-minute block that it takes me to write my grocery list and plan out my meals for the week. So I split it into, like, sometimes I split it into multiple different blocks. Like I do 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. And I find that it works a lot better because the kids are going to need me. And if I think I'm going to have 30 minutes to sit down uninterrupted to do this, my expectations are just off in this season.
After a painless experience teaching an intuitive natural speller, I was completely stumped by a child who left vowels out of words and couldn't seem to decipher their own writing. What we'd done before wasn't working. We needed to find a way to take the struggle out of spelling and raise a competent speller without lots of time and prep for mom. Podcast sponsor All About Spelling was just what we needed. Its logical, step-by-step approach to phonograms and spelling rules laid a solid foundation for spelling mastery. All About Spelling's multi-sensory approach makes it easy for kids to understand, and the built-in review system helps learning stick. All About Spelling works with kids who have learning disabilities as well as those who do not. And because it's completely flexible and customizable, you can breeze through sections that are easy for your child and spend more time on those difficult concepts. All About Learning Press even offers a one-year, 100% money-back guarantee with lifetime support. Head to allaboutlearningpress.com to learn more or click the link in the show notes.
And so it helps me in my mind to really like, okay, I need to do the homeschool planning. All right, what are the steps of that? You know, like I get the, I look at what we did last week and see where we left off. Then I come up with the ideas for this week. I go through the steps and I write that down kind of like a workflow, how I would do it for my business. And then I go through that workflow with those tasks split into pieces. I even do it with like my showers. So I love to take a long shower. That's great. But in the morning, I'm like 10 minutes, let's get in, get out, you know? But if I'm like washing my hair and shaving and doing all the things, I'm like, oh, that's more than 10 minutes. So I'm like, all right, one day I'll wash my hair, one day I'll shave. And then I rotate them, right? So I'm splitting it up into smaller tasks. And then another strategy that really works well is task rotation. So like I just said, in the shower, I'm rotating the tasks that I split up. I also do it with like our cleaning schedule. So a lot of people will approach cleaning like, okay, Monday I clean the bathroom, Tuesday I do this, Wednesday I do this. I found that it stresses me out because what happens on Tuesday when the day, you know, the day was filled with, you know, kids arguing and most of your day was spent in conflict resolution. Now the bathroom's not clean. So do I skip Tuesday and not clean the bathroom? Because then all the other chores for the rest of the week are going to be put off. And it just got like overwhelming and confusing. So instead, I have a flow like, okay, you know, the first day of the week or whenever it is, we have this rotation. We do the animals, we clean the upstairs bathroom, we clean the downstairs bathroom. You know, we have it all set out and then we rotate it. So it's like the bathroom might not get cleaned every week and a half, then, you know, it's not a big deal. If I have to push it off a few days because something happened, I'm not stressed out. Like I know it's going to come up in a few days in the rotation. So rotating my tasks really helps. And then routines. As routines just are a lifesaver, I feel like. I mean, they can definitely keep us sane because we have so much that we have to remember as moms. And there are so many things that fall through the cracks if we're not doing them in a habitual way. So I feel like routines, you can make a routine around getting chores done, make a routine around the Bible study, make a routine around the things so you know that when, you know, you eat breakfast, you do your Bible study. Or, you know, when you, typically when we're done with breakfast, we do our chores. But the great thing with the routines is you can plug it in somewhere else. So if we decide we're going to the beach instead of doing chores after breakfast, you know what? We can pick up that routine when we get home and we still know the steps. It's still easy. And the kids aren't pushing back because they know the routine.
Yeah, it eliminates that decision fatigue, like that having to make the choice. Wait, what comes next can be debilitating for us and for our kids. And so having just sort of a routine in place that's not tied to a specific day or time is such an important and helpful strategy. And I can, that kind of segues into my next question, because one of the things I really encourage moms to do is to think about their homeschool plan and find ways to balance and combine freedom and flexibility with the well-ordered structure that is so needed for many of us, if not all of us. I talk about that in my homeschool planning guide, but I would love to hear your ideas for this sort of structured, well-organized homeschool day and freedom in the plan when we need the flexibility. What are some ways you've been able to do that?
Yeah. So I call it like routine blocking is the term that I use. So, you know, you do time blocking. So you pick like from 8 to 9, we do this, 9 to 10, we do this. And the way I teach it is that instead of, we will look at the clock, you know, when we're setting things up, what is your ideal day? And look at like, oh, it would be great if we woke up at this time and, you know, I did my morning routine and it took me this long. And like looking at like, what do I want to have in that routine? What do I need to be ready for the day? And then, you know, what do we want to do next? And kind of building that ideal day. And building your routines into that. So I have like my personal morning routine, then the morning routine with the kids. We have our chore routine. We have, you know, when I do things like this, they have a routine of doing skills. So they pick out, we set up like, okay, what 3 skills do you want to work on when I'm busy? You know, and that's the routine that we set up for that. But we set it, I set it up according to the clock, just so you have like those, that structure and you know, like, okay, this would be a great ideal day. But then those routines can all move, like I was talking about earlier, like they don't have to stay where they are. So it gives you that flexibility to say, oh, do you know what? Like our friend needs our help. We don't have to stick with this. We can come back to it later. Knowing priorities is another thing that's huge, especially like your overall priorities, you know, for your homeschool, for the year, for the season, but also your priorities for the day. You know, like what is my priority today? Is it to make sure I'm giving like the kids enough attention and spending enough like one-on-one time with them? Is it to get some of the lessons done? Cause we've been slacking on that. Is it, you know, is it making sure we're all there to greet dad when he comes home? But what is that priority? And then knowing the priority helps you to determine like, okay, these are the routines that I definitely want to make sure we're hitting today. And these other ones, you know, they're not so important for today. So we can let go of those and choose to go to the beach or go out hiking or something like that.
That's a really great tip. I think that is so important and valuable to have those routines in place and to know that you can still like move them around and shuffle the pieces so that your overall priorities, you know, the value obviously you put on going outdoors or having adventures or serving others or a relationship, those don't have to be sacrificed to our homeschool plan. So,
yeah. And honestly, I think that they actually, that's what homeschooling is all about.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to it, like, what is the Lord calling us to? Like, definitely to relationships. And I feel like so often we can get into that box, like, ooh, like, you know, we don't have time to hang out. Or we don't have time to help this person because we have to get this done. And like, sometimes there's a place for that. But most of the time, the Lord's going to make room for what he's calling you to do. I mean, all the time, the Lord is going to make room for what he's calling you to do. It's just having that faith to be like, okay, I know the Lord is calling me to go help this friend. I need to let go of that fear that, you know, X, Y, and Z aren't going to get done. And it reminds me of that. Is it when they were marching around? No, that's a different story. It was a story in the Bible where the Lord made like time stop, like the day the sun stayed up for their battle. And it just, I love that story because it reminds me like, the Lord is in control of all of these things. Like he can certainly bless my time in whatever way he does it, you know, but so often I find that when I do follow, you know, what I feel called to for that day or where the Holy Spirit is leading, somehow all the things get done anyway.
Yeah. He is going to equip us for what he calls to do for sure.
Yeah.
Randy, we've been talking sort of specifically about like our role as moms as it comes to the house and the homeschool and the kids, but you know, moms are people too. So what are some of the important things we can do to really nourish our own bodies and minds and souls as moms?
Yeah. You know, rest. I think rest is something that we overlook so much, especially in our culture. We're like, go, go, go. And if we're not achieving something, you know, then we feel like we're not, you know, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Like I shouldn't be sitting down now because the house is messy, or I shouldn't be, you know, I shouldn't be resting. And that is not true. You know, there is a scripture. What is it? The Lord gives to his beloved rest. I think something like that. And that just really stood out to me for a really long time because especially like my personality type, I do like to achieve. I like to like check things off the list. I like to get things done, but that can come at a price. You know, when we are constantly focused on being busy, it hurts our body. It hurts our spiritual relationships with the Lord. It can hurt our relationships. So I think rest and really, and what does rest look like? I mean, it doesn't have to be like I'm taking a nap. It can be reading a book. It can be exercising. It can be going out in the garden. But whatever feels restful to you, it's important that we make the time to do it so we don't get overwhelmed. We don't feel weary. We don't get overburdened.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to just sit and feel like you're not wasting time by taking a moment to read a book or take a nap or leave the dishes in the sink and go to bed, you know, those kinds of things. Not that we should just always leave dishes in the sink. That's not what I'm saying. But there comes a time when work never ends. You know, I joke like the internet never ends. All this, you know, the work you do online or homeschooling, the books never end. There's always more you can do. And so at some point, just having to accept your finiteness. And, you know, that's actually a humility of just being like, I am a creature, not the creator. And so I need to stop and say, it is enough for now. And then the Lord covers over all that we are unable to get to.
Yes. And, you know, I really learned, I've been watching my husband do this. So I'm like, how do you find time to rest? Like I had realized at one point in my motherhood that I never, like, you know that feeling when you were a kid and you could just like lounge on the couch and feel so peaceful, like there was nothing that you had to do. I'm like, I don't know the last time I've ever felt that way. And then looking at my husband, like he has the ability to like turn it off for a minute and be like, oh, I'm just like going to chill out for a minute. And I'm like, ooh, like, so I've been really practicing that because like I'll say I'm resting, but then I'm not like really resting, like not only in what I'm doing with my time, but resting in my body, letting it go, like not feeling that burden, that tension, resting in the Lord, like just really finding rest. So I've been practicing that, like letting it go, getting rid of the thoughts in your mind, getting rid of that tension in your body and like really feeling restful when I'm resting.
And I think one thing I would also just mention here as we're talking about rest is this idea of the Sabbath rest that God gives us. Yeah. You know, one day out of seven, he gives us every week. And if you think about that over the course of a year, that's 49, you know, well, 52 days, but that's like 7 weeks. Seven weeks where God says, you don't have to strive on that day. Come and worship, you know, with my people. I had a friend, a mentor who once said, you know, sometimes people wonder, like, when am I going to have time to read the theology book and to read the Bible study book or these other things we want to do? And she was like, 7 weeks a year, save that book and read that on Sunday. And so sometimes yes. I'll have like a Sunday book. Not that I can't read it on a Tuesday if I want to, but I have that freedom that I know, you know what? This is a day set apart. And so I don't have to worry about all the other things that, you know, they'll be there for me on Monday. Like they're just going to always be there. But today yes. it is set apart. And that is a true rest as well. The rest of worship, the rest of mm-hmm. trusting that if the Lord tells us he's given us this day, then we can, you know, rely on him to provide what we need the other six.
Yes, I totally agree. I think Sabbath is a beautiful practice. And there's so many great promises in the Bible about the Sabbath. And it is, but you have to break through that fear, you know, that like, oh, I'm not going to get the things done. Like you, like the Lord will provide, you will get the things done yeah. that need to get done.
Exactly.
Not all the things that you think you need to get done.
Yes, that's a very good distinction. Very true. Brandy, this has been wonderful. Here at the end, I'm going to ask you the questions that I love to ask all my guests. And so the first is just, what are you personally reading these days?
So talking about rest. So I would rest and read nonfiction, which is fine. But there was something in my, like, I had a hard time reading fiction. And it has to do with the whole like letting go of achieving types of things, you know? And recently the Lord has really put on my heart, like as we go through like this real, like really resting, that it's okay to read fiction, like pick up a fiction book. Like it's okay if you're not learning something right now. And I started reading Francine Rivers. She's a Christian author and her books are so great. And she's been around for a long time, I guess. Like I'm not the first to, you know, jump on this train, but her books are great. And they really link, there's just these undertones that link up to scripture and that, many of her characters like represent, the Lord and, or like people with struggles and the way she pulls it all together, like it's just really beautiful. So I've been reading her books and then I'm reading some book about, train them to work or something about like helping kids do chores.
Oh, we should all probably read that book. Maybe I need to be trained to do chores. Yes. Brandy, what is your best tip to help the homeschool day run more smoothly?
I love this phrase, do your best and let God do the rest. So meaning like, yes, it's good to make plans. It's good to build the routines. It's good to use your time and your resources wisely. The Lord calls us to do that. So you do your best, but if it's not going the way that you planned, lean on God and let him do the rest because he might just be taking you a different way that day, you know, like opening up a different door to, you know, help so you can help your kid with something else that they're struggling with or whatever, who knows, but you do your best and then you let God do the rest.
Is a good reminder. Where can people find you all around the internet?
Yes. So I have a podcast, the Nourish Mom podcast, my website, the Nourish Mom, and then on Facebook, the Nourish Mom.
And I will have links to all those things over in the show notes for this episode at humilityanddoxology.com. Thank you to everyone who has joined us today, whether with your podcast app or on YouTube. I would encourage you, if you enjoyed this episode, you can just take a screenshot, share it in your Instagram stories, tag a friend, tag me. I would love to see it. And while you're there, if you would leave a rating and review for Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology in your podcast app, that would be so amazing. It really does help. As Brandy knows, as a fellow podcaster, it really helps other homeschool parents find the encouragement that you find every week here. So thank you again, Brandy, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Now let's hear from podcast sponsor and Sloan family favorite, Mr. D himself from Mr. D Math.
Does your child love math, surpassing your ability to teach them? Or maybe you have a child struggling in math and you're looking for a solution that will help them finally get it. You want your teen to understand, love, and enjoy their math curriculum. Is that too much to ask? At Mr. D Math, we've got you covered. Many times a young person says they hate math simply because it hasn't been explained in a way that makes sense to them. At Mr. D Math, our teachers are dedicated to providing accessible support, instructing with clarity, and making math fun. We work with students from around the world, helping connect educational concepts to their everyday lives and exposing them to endless possibilities and potential for their futures. Head to MrDMath.com to check out our live and self-paced course options for math, life skills, test prep, and more. We even have courses to get your child ready for high school math or help them catch up or get ahead in a semester or less. Go to MrDMath.com or click the link in the show notes to see how Mr. D Math can bring clarity and joy to your homeschool.
Thanks for listening in on this week's Homeschool Conversation. For show notes and links to all the resources we discussed, head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-conversations. And if these episodes are an encouragement to you, would you take a moment to leave a rating and review and to share with your friends? I am so thankful that you are here on this adventure with me. Let's repent of our constant striving, relish the joy of learning, and rest in the work of Christ on our behalf. Stand fast, my friends.